Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm Joel Fragamini, your host. Going to tell you what's going on this week at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. Big week with fun stuff for me because I've got my advanced comedy class showcase coming at you tonight. If you're listening to this when the show comes out, Tuesday, February 18th at 7:30 p.m., the students of my advanced comedy class, I think I mentioned this last week, maybe the best students we've had in that class, best group of students in a long time. Maybe the best ever. This could be the best ever. And you'll actually hear me talk about this with Jackie Cation. 8 female comedians on the show, in the class and on the show. That's great. Out of 13. That's a great ratio to have. Nothing against the 5 guys in there. They're swell. They're swell too. But to have 8 really funny females too. I'm telling you, this is going to be a great show. 7:30 p.m. You can go up to comedycastle.com and get your tickets for that and choose your own seat. Or you can just show up and buy a ticket. Hey, either way it works. But that's tonight, Tuesday the 18th, big night for me. Open mic night follows on Wednesday the 19th at 7:30 p.m. You can walk in and get yourself a ticket for $5. The show starts at 7:30. We got a nice lineup for open mic too this week. But Thursday through Saturday, our headliner is Jackie Cation. She's returning. I'm talking to her on this show, and Jackie's a real favorite around these parts. Really a funny comic that, you know, tells stories, talks about her life, talks about the world that she lives in, and does some really funny podcasts called The Dork Forest and The Jackie and Lori Show with Lori Kilmartin as well. And really just one of the best out there. So if you're hankering to see a female headliner, good week for it with Jackie Cation, 7:30 p.m. on Thursday the 20th, 7:15 and 9:45 p.m. on Friday, February 21st, and Saturday, February 22nd, 7 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. Those are your show times this week for Jackie Cation and Alana Gonzalez and Carl Johnson opening those shows. A couple favorites from the Detroit area. Going to be warming them up, warming you guys up on that night. Let's talk about a show that happened on Sunday, the Battle of the Mics. We had 2 contest shows in the past week. We had the Detroit to LA Finals, which was won by Hannah Osborne. Great performance, Hannah. Really, just a great, too many good people there was a top 3, I think, and you know, but Hannah was terrific and won, and congratulations to her. And then we had the Battle of the Mics on Sunday the 16th, which was won by Noah Chapp, who finished 3rd place in Detroit to LA, and he won the prize doing a 3-minute set and then a 2-minute set later. And if you've seen Noah's act, and you know, I don't know if I should get too much into the things that he talks about. It is extremely R-rated. It is, it is ridiculous. It is graphically sexual and taboo topics, but done in such a clever, smart way. And the thing about Noah is he is such a great performer now. They're usually one-liner jokes. They're real quick. They come at you like that. It's a fire hose of jokes. And you just end up laughing. And, you know, I've seen Noah. Now, here's the story. I'll give you some information on my history with Noah Chapp. Noah used to come to our open mic and watch. I want to say he did that for years. And I would talk to him and say, how you doing tonight? He's all right. And I go, okay, you thinking about doing this one day? Yeah, one day. And then, you know, weeks go by, you got to call in and get on, you know, yeah, I'm not ready yet. And this went on for years. And when he finally did get up and he had some of these jokes that were risque, he wasn't really delivering them well. He looked nervous. Sometimes the crowds would, not be all that favorable to him. And it would rattle him a little bit. And you can kind of see that. But let me tell you something. Those days are in his past for sure. What I saw at Battle of the Mics on Sunday night was just an amazing deal. It was a way to do a contest show, which are pretty horrible shows for the comedians that are in them, being honest. Noah just did it as good as anyone could do it. You know, a lot of people had great jokes. Ja'Cory Hawkins, who finished second, is a super talent. Ryan Brown was on that show, who was just blew the doors off the place. And, you know, they only had a top two, so it wasn't Ryan. But Noah, what you did on Sunday was just super great. I want to, you know, I feel like, oh, I'm proud of Noah, but I didn't really have anything to do with him doing well. He's a talented guy, and he learned how to do it. And he does a million shows, and he has gotten better. He was always funny. Now he's brilliant. And let's see where that goes. And I'll be along to watch you every step of the way, dude. I'm a big fan. All right. Let's get into this Jackie Cation interview. Should we do that? Okay. Let's do it. Jackie and I had said, hey, let's talk on Tuesday. And we set the whole thing up through email. And then Monday I get a phone call, and it's Jackie Cation. And she goes, let's do this show in a couple of minutes. And I was not prepared to do it in a couple of minutes. But we did it a couple minutes later, and that's what you're going to hear. But it is just a funny conversation. You know, I've known Jackie as she's come through the club over the years, and I think she's great. We talk about some nerd stuff. We're both nerds. It's funny. We're both nerds. Our nerd stuff doesn't really overlap all that much. But you'll hear Jackie's thoughts, things to watch, things to read. You'll also hear her talk about how she's trying to make a new comedy album, and that'll be a lot of what you hear this weekend at the club, is her trying to work out that hour. We'll hear about, you know, her making friends on the road. What a challenge that is for comedians, where you come to a town, maybe it's the opening act, you're hanging out with that opening act all day. Maybe it's the club staff, you see them every night, night after night, and you become friendly with these people and you like them. And maybe you, you know, have a meal with them and you hang out with them and you talk to them like they're your buddy. And then you go to the next town and it's a whole new group of people. And she says one comedian, I can't remember who she said, maybe it was Pete Lee. You'll hear it. Keeps a list of the people that every town, who was this guy, who was that guy. Jackie has a funny story too. So that's great. We get into a little bit of why she loves working at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. That made me feel nice as a member of the staff, and her compliments to Mark and us on the staff really felt nice. So Jackie's just great. Kathleen Madigan talking here too. We talk about the great Kathleen Madigan as well. I really like Jackie Cation. I really thought this interview, for me, done very little prep other than knowing Jackie for the last couple of years. I think it turned out pretty great. Let's have you listen to that right now. We'll be back after, all right? Here's Jackie Cation. Ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line, it's a pleasure to talk to Jackie Cation. How you doing, Jackie?
I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. I'm plugging along. What about you?
I mean, you're very busy. This is a surprise podcast to me, but it'll be good.
Right. It'll be good. I'm doing four today. Oh, I just did one.
Yeah.
I did the Bugle
okay.
in England. And then I have my own, The Dork Forest. I'm doing in an hour and a half.
Oh, wow.
And then I'm doing the Jackie and Laurie, the podcast I do about stand-up.
With Laurie Kilmartin.
Tonight at 10.
Yeah, we know Laurie. We love Laurie.
With Laurie Kilmartin.
Yeah,
she's
Laurie's
good.
Great. You guys are brothers. We know each other. Yeah, I work at the club. I'm that, you know.
Right.
I start I start the show for you.
Oh, thank
that's
God.
My move. That's me.
Oh, fantastic. I love that.
But yeah,
can't wait to see it.
Yeah, it's going to be a great weekend. You've become a real favorite around these parts. Michigan has become a kind of a great space for you, I feel like, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and it's, I've always enjoyed it. You know, I've had, hilarious. because we're recording this on my phone.
Yeah.
My dad just called. So you guys look forward to, no, I'm good. He's only 87. He can wait.
I missed my last phone call, but I was talking to on the Comedy Castle podcast. My father has left us.
Right. Well, he'll leave me a message and it will begin. Hello, this is your father. And
always introducing themselves, aren't they?
Right. Why is that? I mean, I was just like, though, you know what? He's got me doing it because I call him. I mean, granted, he has six children. So I always say, it's me, your daughter, Jackie. So
you called. Can I break the fourth wall a little bit? You called, sure, and said, this is Jackie Cation. I'm a comedian performing this week at the Comedy Castle. That's what, right, you called me. You said that. And it's like, yeah, I know. We've been emailing.
Right. I know. I didn't want, but I hate to, you know.
Yeah. Cause I'm not your friend. And so it's a kind of a cold call.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I felt like, well, let him know. I may not be in his phone. Yeah. So,
oh. Whoa, who's in his phone if not you?
Well, but I may not be like when I could, I hate like a number that I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And
yeah,
then all of a sudden I'm like, well, I don't know how do I. You know, am I answering this? Yeah. I want to answer it, but right, whatever.
I answer pretty
well. It's a great story. Should I tell it again? Is it a good one?
I answer everything, and it's just, you know, it's
that's admirable.
I answer everything. My phone will tell me if they think it's spam. And right, then I go, okay, I probably don't answer that one. But if it's just a number, it's like, okay, we'll do this. We'll do this. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll try it.
Love that.
But I'm good about saying, hey, I'm busy and just hanging up.
Yeah. We don't know each other.
Yeah. I'll be real.
Please, can I leave? So,
not with you, because like I said, favorite here at the Comedy Castle. I know people love you here in Michigan and they're really excited to see you again. So what's going on this year? You told me before we went on here this weekend at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle, you're working on your new album. It's a brand new hour of comedy from you. And you're working on that. Yep. Tell everybody about that.
Right. So, So what I'll tell you is that, so I have like 6.5 albums, right? Okay. And so I usually put out an album every 2 or 3 years,
mm-hmm,
yeah, 3 years.
Okay.
Some people do it like every year and I'm like, I don't feel done. I have premises. Yeah. I wouldn't want to put it on an album, but you do whatever you need to do. Mm-hmm. But so because of lockdown, my schedule got messed up. So it's been 4 years. It's been 4 years since my last album. So I'm going to do a new album and a new special, a new video that I can clip up into 1,000 pieces and put on Instagram, I assume. And, and then, you know, probably last year, I probably have 20, 25 minutes of the same.
Okay.
And then some new tags and stuff. But, and then there's probably 30 new minutes. So
nice.
Yeah.
What's great.
Exciting.
That is how comics do. Now you spend money, you prepare to do an hour, and then it's technical and it's got to be perfect. And then it gets chopped up into people watching it on their tiny little phone through a little tiny speaker or not even and hearing then, it. And it's captioned and you don't even hear
it. It's just captioned. Yeah. And then the guy who captions, who makes my clips, he'll tighten up the jokes. I'm like, hey, man, you're not wrong, but okay.
Yeah. I mean,
he's got to get it under 60 seconds. So he pulls out like the middle of the bit. And sure. I'm like, all right. Because I am kind of a storytelling stand-up comic.
Right. Yeah.
So there's a lot of punchlines in it.
Uh-huh.
But it's usually a good 3.5-minute story. And he's like, well, I think I could probably get two bits out of this. And I'm like, well, that hurts my feelings. You do whatever you need to do, brother.
Taking a red pen to your material.
Oh my God. He has line veto for some reason. And,
oh man.
Hilarious.
Yeah. That's good. But that is how people are doing it now. And it's just, I mean, you've been around long enough. I've been around 25 years, right? It's changed so much of, you know, I tell my comedy students that I teach about, you know, I had two VCRs and I had tapes and I put a label on the tape and, you know, it was like three
cameras.
And you'd
call the booker and the booker would say, call me in a month. And you'd call him in a month and they're like, call me in a month. Except Mark Ridley, who books the whole year in September.
Yeah, Mark's great like that. But I remember I would I would go on the road with tapes. And like,
just to hand them out.
And I'd hand them. Like, I'd do the set, and then the guy would go, well, okay, but I didn't really see the whole thing because I'm busy running the club or whatever.
Right.
And then you'd have to hand him a tape.
Yep. Oh my gosh. Just getting them. Yeah. It was. And now you could just send a link.
Send a link.
And I did have somebody, a very, very new guy came up to me and he was like, I just did my first set. I recorded it. It's on YouTube. Mm. Would you watch it? Mm. And I said, I am going to do both of us a favor and not watch it.
Exactly.
And tell you to make it private. And a year from now, if you're still doing stand up, watch it again.
Then
you will thank me.
That's exactly what I tell people. I go, do it unlisted. You don't want people finding this. You know, because
Rando. Yeah.
Because it might be a thing where when you are a couple years in, you're getting good and you want to get booked somewhere and they Google you and then they see your first set of comedy you ever made. And that's not what you want them to see if you want to get hired.
I thank the baby Jesus that it wasn't possible to record my first set.
I have mine typed out. I don't have a recording of it, but I have it typed out.
Whatever, 2-7 however many years you've been doing it.
Yeah.
All you're doing when you're doing stand-up is you're throwing noodles at the wall, hoping they'll stick, right? Yeah. And that's the clean version of that analogy. And so don't set yourself up to fail,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep working on that stuff. It's okay. You're not famous. You don't need to.
Right. And nobody, and everybody who's come to the show wants to laugh.
Yeah. They want your best stuff.
So give them the benefit of the doubt that they're giving you the benefit of the doubt. And so try the new stuff.
Yeah.
Do the tried and true.
Do the tried.
But don't forget to try the new stuff.
Young comics always say, well, you know, I dropped that whole act because everybody knew it. And I'm like,
wow, what are you, Leno?
Yeah, that's what they say.
Afraid that you're going to burn it on a... Leno told me, asked him once why he didn't have any albums. And he said, well, I don't want to burn that material. And I said, you're famous, but nobody's that famous.
Yeah, right.
You could do it.
Yeah.
It'd be okay.
No, but I mean, that is a smart thing that Leno says, but same time, that's like a road comic from the 80s mentality versus modern.
Right. Which he was. Thing,
which he was. He was the best at that.
Yeah. And he's got a great new premise that I'm actually, I forget where it goes, but the premise is hilarious. I'm waiting for like 19 other comics to do it, but I haven't heard it.
All right.
It's just about how the youth, like there's nobody under the age of 40 probably right now who knows what a phone book is.
Okay.
And he was trying to explain to somebody what a phone book was. Yeah. And the kid was like, you're nuts. You're not. You had a book in your house that had everybody's phone numbers.
Yeah.
And he had to explain to him, no, it was just his town. The kid, because of the internet, he thought it was
the world.
All of the phone number. Yeah. He's like, no, it was just the city I live in.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's thin and sometimes it's fat, but it's just the one, you know?
Yeah. Phone book.
So
I loved reading the phone book as a kid. I don't know why that was. I was that kind of
person. Oh, that's interesting.
Well, you know, the ads really too. Maybe the yellow pages more than the white pages.
Oh, the ads were actually.
Yellow pages were amazing. Yeah. The lawyers in there and stuff. This is wild.
This very much sounds like small town Michigan in the 70s
that's
to me.
All right.
You're just like, I got to find something to read. Around.
Yeah.
I miss
catalogs. I like the old, like,
oh, yeah.
The Sears catalog. I bought one on eBay.
We had the World Book Encyclopedias from 1965.
Yeah, those are great too.
We used to look up the space race and laugh because they hadn't gone yet. And, but I will say what I do, I mean, I'm sure people do it now. I mean, or I know it. I know people do it now. They're just like, if you ask your parents a question, your parents will be like, well, why don't you Google that? And when I was a kid, they would just say, see the encyclopedias? Why don't you look it up?
Yeah.
So
right over there. Bought that
right
for
over
you.
There.
Use
Bought
it.
Yeah.
Bought it for you. Use it.
Use it. Exactly. I wish I still had it, quite honestly, even though I don't know where I'd put it. So
yeah, that's
we live
the
in
thing.
A very small house.
That's the thing. Yeah. I think people don't have books like maybe they used to too. That's kind of gone.
All the books I've got are just there's no room for it's mostly just science fiction and romance novels and mystery novels, and it's a lot of pulp.
That's all right.
I'm just trying to stop the voices, man.
Yeah, that's all right. Well, look, did you bring a book on the road with you?
I always bring a book on the road.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Here's what I'm usually doing. I'm usually reading a book, and then I'm listening to a book, and then I have a book on Kindle just in case.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. I love the Kindle. I'm a Kindle guy.
Kindle guy?
Yeah, I'm a Kindle
guy. Can I recommend?
Yeah, sure.
Can I recommend a book? When Gravity Fails, George Alec Effinger. I don't know if you've ever seen the TV show The Expanse, which is also books.
Okay.
But if you like Gravity science fiction.
Fails. Yes, I'm aware of The Expanse.
Okay.
Yeah.
So When Gravity Fails is essentially a hard-boiled detective.
Yeah.
Cyberpunk.
Okay.
So it's a mystery.
Interesting.
And it was written in the 80s, and it should be a movie, but it's not. So
everything will be a movie eventually. Everything will be
right.
Everything will be a Netflix series eventually.
Exactly. And so there's that, and there's I just started watching Alice in Borderland.
Yeah,
which is like a
I've seen
Japanese
trailers
manga.
For that. Yeah, that looks neat.
That's intense. Okay. Yeah, that one's it's just a guy is shunted off into a sort of a Ready Player One kind of world, except for that, of course. It's, you know what? It reminds me less of Ready Player One and more of Squid Games.
Okay, I haven't seen Squid Game.
So, it's super. They're both, it's all so dark.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can, I like a happy show.
Yeah,
come on.
Right.
And hook me up.
Well, me and my fiance watch Yellow Jackets, and that just came back. And that thing's real dark. I don't know if you've seen that, but that's...
I have not. You know what I am looking forward to, though, is Reacher.
Reacher, okay. I almost,
Reacher on Amazon?
Yeah, because I'm one of those people, like, I should really get into this Reacher. There's so much... The Tom Cruise movies, and then there's that show, and...
The Tom Cruise movies makes the people who read the books super mad.
Oh, do they?
Because the guy's in the book, the guy's a gorilla. and in the TV show, the guy's a gorilla, but he's actually a pretty good actor because he's also very funny. He's a little quippy, but he can break people in half. It's ridiculous.
Right.
And so I actually like Reacher.
Right.
It's just the Hulk, right?
Yeah.
He comes to town. There's bad guys, and Jack Reacher's like, okay, I'm gonna break you guys in half. And then he takes his ATM card and toothbrush and goes to the next town.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
It's literally the Hulk.
Okay. There you go. Yeah, that was it. That was it. You got going and those kind of shows. You go around from town to town and Kung Fu
poker
was kind of like that. Yeah. Well, Poker Face. Yeah, that's
Kung Fu.
Yeah, Kung Fu was like that. And
Kung Fu. People should come and see me do stand up.
Yes, it's not about any of these things. No, it is on some level.
It is on some level.
It's about all of these things on some level. But being I'm a nerd, I like sci-fi. I like, games and stuff like that and all that. That culture, though, people, if you're a young person, you can't relate to the fact that that culture, comic book, Marvel, even whatever, Star Wars, there was not the popular thing to do.
Our kids. with our toys. Right. And now it's the cool kid thing. So
It's just like it's such a weird thing that people were sort of hoping one day that this would be the most popular thing in the world, and then it got there, and then people aspects of that got sort of toxic. Got sort of like, really, they were mad that the stuff wasn't around and now there's too much of it or it's not good enough. You can't please nerds. Nerd rage
is real. It can get
real.
Bossy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nerd rage.
Everybody should get to like what they like and not like what they don't like.
Yeah.
I can't watch horror. Do you know why?
It scares me. Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations, horror writers. You've successfully won.
Yeah.
And so Squid Game's too tense.
Okay.
Alice in Borderland, kind of too tense, but I'm giving it a shot.
What is this The Substance? Okay, I made my fiance watch The Substance. And I didn't really know exactly how graphic that thing would get, but my goodness, that was awful. That was just an intense way. I mean...
I heard that was too much for me. I didn't do it.
It would be
I'm looking forward
much.
To Captain America.
Okay.
I was on the road this last weekend, so I didn't get to see it. But my husband's like, hey, when are we going to see Captain America? Mm. And I said, I don't know. I have many podcasts and catch up, but then I got to go to Detroit adjacent Royal Oak. Royal. Do you know that I just like 2 years ago got that it's called the Comedy Castle because you guys are in Royal Oak?
You know what? I don't know that that's even the case, but that's a nice way to put it together.
That's what I think. That I don't even know.
I don't know that Castle started. Well, here's what I would say about that is I don't know that the Comedy Castle began in Royal Oak, technically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's been multiple, you know, the location that the Comedy Castle is in now has been there for like 35 years, okay?
Right.
But there were years where it was in the back room of a restaurant in the 80s.
And it was still called the Comedy Castle?
And it was always the Comedy Castle, yeah.
Okay.
I think Mark just... You know, he liked the comedy. You know, Mark will tell you the story. He liked the Comedy Store in L.A., came to Detroit and just started his version of that.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
I don't know if it's the C's together and that kind of thing.
Oh, the hard K.
Yeah. But just Comedy Castle works. The fact that it's in Royal Oak, Michigan, I think that's you're drawing
an
inference that, you know, works now. But I don't know if that was by design.
Okay.
I know that. Well, here's what I will tell you, though. Mark Ridley, the name Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle is because a guy that had his restaurant in the Comedy Castle was the back room of it. He fired Mark and started doing like the Comedy Shack or something like that. In the same space.
So that's why Mark put his name on it.
Yeah, so wherever Mark went, whatever physical location it was, it would always have Mark's name attached to it. Because Mark was the original.
Just to simplify.
And people that were ripping Mark off, and then you know these restaurant people that ripped him off, they wanted to keep the Mark Ridley name so people would know that he's the real deal.
Yeah, the thing about the Comedy Castle is that it's an incredibly well-run venue. Like you can tell that he's been doing it for 40 years and he shouldn't put his name on it because a lot of clubs, I've done many clubs.
Yeah.
And you go to the club and you're like, they don't know that they're seeing stand-up. They think that they're going to an improv thing where they're going to shout things out I don't even understand how people think that they're going to sort of, because it's stand-up, it is a theater event.
Yeah.
I have written, I am talking, the lights and I got the mic.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't go see the Music Man. And then, I mean, maybe they would. Maybe they would want to jump up on stage and dance. But please don't.
No.
It's, and granted, theaters don't usually have quite as much booze rolling quite as quickly.
Yeah.
But, I love the Comedy Castle just because it's the expectations are done right and the room is beautiful. It's just done well. Yeah. So I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. That's part of my job to make that run well.
I got a couple of guest sets coming in, too. I forgot.
Okay. Well, we'll figure that out. That's not a big deal.
Okay.
That's not a big deal.
Yeah, Thursday and then Friday second show.
Yeah, we'll figure that out. Because people like, these comics, because I believe you did. Let me ask you this. I'm just sort of going through my memory. You did the Traverse City Comedy Festival. Might have been 2 years ago. Is that correct?
I did.
Yeah. Because that's all Detroit comics. That's all Michigan people, you know, at that thing.
Okay.
And, you know, I know it's a big, because I didn't get to go, but people were like, it was just this great hang. It was just this amazing.
It was a really great
thing.
Hang. Yeah. The room that they're having the stand up in, though, would look like you ever go to a pancake breakfast at a Lutheran church? It's the lighting is too great.
Oh, okay.
It is
interesting.
Yes,
I don't know.
I don't want to see the audience.
That out.
I want to see the first two rows.
I'll
That's
pass
what
this
I
along
see.
To the producers.
You pass it along.
But I know that people like you. Yeah. That okay. You told them.
I told them out loud. I was like, I made fun of it on stage. Not too bad. I mean, I know who's signing the check.
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
so,
yeah, right,
but there's definitely. It could, you know, and I think it was an early, I think it's only been around for like 5 years.
Yeah,
or something,
I think it's like 3 years. Like it's
oh, yeah. So they're building. So they're figuring stuff out.
They're figuring it out. Yeah. I know all those people. Yeah. They're nice people, but they like you. And I know like Alana
really nice
that is coming, that is opening for you this weekend. She's one of those fans that got to know you at that. Alana Gonzalez and a guy named Carl Johnson. I don't know if you know Carl, but Carl's a guy, another guy.
No, everybody sounds familiar.
Yeah. Though, well, you don't know who anybody is. You don't know who I am. Sad. You don't know who anybody is.
I know. It's just okay. The aging process feels real at some point.
Well, you meet people and they're in your life. Because I know, because I would tour and stuff. And they're in your life and you're with them sometimes, like most of your
intensely.
Day. For 3 days. For and then you don't see them for years.
Right. Right. I know there's really like, I think Pete Lee keeps like a running list.
Oh, does he?
Of staff.
Okay.
And I was like, that's really smart. I should do that. And then have I ever done that? I've sadly never done that. So it's a really smart idea though.
It is. It wrong? Is because you meet and then it's like, oh yeah, that guy. Was that guy still around? Remember that guy?
I hope that guy's still there. He was great. Oh, I liked her. Yeah. I just did I just did Comedy Works. And
yeah, that's another one people talk about. Good club,
yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. I do South, and the waitress who usually is the green room waitress, she wasn't there.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, what happened to her? And they're like, well, I think she retired or something. I mean, she had literally been there for 40 years, 45 years. So she gets to retire as opposed to comics, who I don't think do until we're asked to leave.
Yeah. Well, it's we're not asking you to leave. We love having you.
Nobody.
You're on the. Yeah. You come back. You go and you do it and you come back on a regular cadence. That's nice.
I do it that. And I was talking to Kathleen Madigan and she was like, when do I get to stop? And I was like, anytime now, Madigan, do whatever you want to do.
She calls it semi-retired or whatever she calls it now, but number one box office draw at the Comedy Castle for years and years. Her weekend was the biggest ticket, you know, people buying them. As soon as they went on sale, we were selling shows out.
Right.
Yeah, she had it made. You couldn't do better in our club. And she was like, I've had enough of this.
And then she went to theater, so yeah, she's really good at the business part of it. Like everybody always has a really good time when they see me. Mm-hmm. I, for the love of God, I cannot figure out. I'm doing Instagram. I'm doing YouTube. I'm getting reels out. Yeah. I'm clipping stuff, and people like me. And there's nothing not to like.
Yeah,
but you know what? You've inspired me. I'm gonna send her a flyer and make her tweet it or whatever. Skeet it.
That you're at the Comedy Castle.
I'm at the Comedy Castle.
Yeah, I'm not coming, but you can see Jackie Cation this weekend.
You know, if you like women of a certain age from the Midwest, please watch Jackie Cation.
Well, let me ask you this. We'll end on this because, you know, I teach comedy class at the Comedy Castle, and I have a group that actually they finish tomorrow night. They have their big showcase. I had 13 students in my class, which is nice, you know. Eight women of 13.
Eight
women. And I'm blown away by that. And I'm like, wow, what a great. And I talked to them Saturday and I said, listen, you know, it's rare to have this many women that are all funny and talented starting out together. You got to look out for each other because it's tough out there.
Yeah. It's, you know, there's the greatest thing about the number of the sheer number of women that are doing the shows now is that there's someone when somebody says something particularly gross or rude, you have someone to make eye contact with.
Yeah.
It's nice. Uh-huh. You can roll your eyes. There's usually a decent dude in the green room who you could try to roll your eyes, but he was too embarrassed about his fellows. And so he would be like, I don't want to.
Yeah.
Don't make me.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's awesome. Eight is good.
Eight women. Yeah. And you know, different age, some real young and some older. And it's just like, you guys got it. Because I always try to think in my head, and I don't know the answer, and I don't know you do either, but you know, you start out and there's a lot of women on open mics and in classes. And then as you get closer to, you know, the headlining level, the professional level, that there's less women. And I go, that makes me sad when I think about that.
Yeah. Slow and steady. We're fixing it. So
I hope so. And everyone should if you're a lady in comedy, you're a woman who wants to do stand up comedy, really anybody. I mean, you come see Jackie this weekend and you're going to see a master class in storytelling and likability and all that stuff. All you need to be successful. It's all on display. Punchline.
Come on out.
Hit him.
That's it.
Hit him with those punchlines. Make it happen. It's going to be great. Jackie, thanks so much for doing this. I know it was sort of a kind of improvised.
I appreciate your flexibility.
Listen,
I appreciate that. I do have to go to the next one.
But I knew I could talk to you. You're that. It was not going to be an issue filling 30 minutes talking to you.
Oh, no. Plug and play over here. you have a good day, and I'll see
Sounds
you on
great.
Thursday.
We'll see you on Thursday, Jackie. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. All
right, bye-bye. Well, there it is, guys. Jackie Cation coming in this weekend. She may remember who I am next time. I don't know. But that is a thing, man. You go to a town. You don't know. You meet these staff. You don't know who they are later. But Jackie's so funny. Come on out this weekend. Like I said, great lineup with Elena Gonzalez and Carl Johnson opening those shows. So, yeah, what can you do? You can't do better than this one. And if you were a fan of Kathleen Madigan, you might very well enjoy Jackie Cation's comedy, you know, and they're friends. And maybe Kathleen will put this on social media. Hey, Jackie's at the club this weekend. Come on out. And we know there's fans of Kathleen, and we know Kathleen hasn't been at the club in a couple years. Maybe she'll come back. But either way, you got to come see Jackie this weekend. I know I'll be there. Super excited. And we hope to see you guys. And of course, my Advanced Comedy Class Showcase, 7:30 p.m. That's tonight. Tuesday, one of the best lineups I have ever had for an Advanced Comedy Class showcase. The next Advanced Comedy Class, if you're interested in that one, if you want to take one, be part of it yourself. Saturday, March 29th. That's the next one. So sign up, call the club and do that. But hey, we'll catch you there. ComedyCastle.com has your tickets. We want to thank you guys for listening. We are on Spotify. We are on YouTube Music. We are on Apple Music and Apple Podcasts, YouTube, if you want to check out the show on YouTube. It's just audio. Maybe we'll get the video of me talking to people. And I'll have to do my hair, which I don't want to do a podcast. But if we do it, my hair will be done. And then I'll put headphones on the hair. The whole thing's ugly. I don't know. Let's go. All right. See you at the Comedy Castle this week, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.